Welcome to Foresight Friday Roundup, Foresight Health's podcast series for healthcare revolutionaries. Outcomes matter, customers count, and value rules. Hello again, everyone. This is Dave Berta, news editor at Foresight Health. On today's episode of Foresight Friday Roundup, we're going to talk about hospitals, health systems, and government bailouts. We're going to talk about how much financial support the federal government is providing to hospitals and health systems, what the wide variation in hospital and health system financial performance says about the need for that support, and whether there's a better way to make hospitals and health systems more financially sustainable than giving them more federal dollars. Our resident experts on Foresight Friday Roundup to comment on these topics are Dave Johnson, founder and CEO of Foresight Health, and Gary Bisbee, co-founder and executive chairman of the Health Management Academy. Dave, Gary, are you guys staying safe?
So far, so good, Dave.
Yeah, I think so. Hopefully I'm not a carrier, but you never know, right?
Glad you're 1,000 miles away either way. All right. Before we talk about hospitals, health systems, and money, I wanted to ask you about what you've seen federal COVID-19 bailouts that had you shaking your heads. Dave, have you seen any curious uses of taxpayer money?
Well, it's already an old story, but the funding of the new FBI building in the Senate's package surprised me a little bit. I don't think it's going to stick, but there you go.
Gary, is any of your money going to places you don't want it to go?
Well, I'm sure it is. But in terms of specifics, as Dave implied, I mean, it's just hard to tell what's going on here from FBI buildings to kind of well-off people getting a piece of the CARES Act money. But that's when you throw multiple trillions of dollars around, that's going to happen. I think we just have to deal with it.
Got it. Yeah. I do know people who have gone could have gone back to their previous jobs, but didn't because their unemployment benefits were more than their wages. So I don't think that's a smart move in the long run, but we'll see. Anyways, let's talk about hospitals, health systems, and federal financial support. Dave, how much are hospitals and health systems getting in terms of federal dollars? Why are they getting it? And in what forms is that support coming in?
How much? Well, in a word, a lot. The why is to help offset the grievous loss in revenue associated with shutting down hospitals and the slow rebuild of volume. It came in two forms. The first was CARES Act funding or stimulus for the whopping total of $175 billion. The second was accelerated Medicare payments, which is a type of loan. Hospitals were supposed to begin repaying that in August. The proposed Senate stimulus bill delays that payment until January. I think it's possible that they'll ultimately forgive these accelerated payments, which would be quite a windfall for the healthcare industry. The allocation was revenue-based, a little bit like Gary was talking about, the rich got richer. So the payments were disconnected from need. That led to some embarrassing headlines. The 20 largest health systems received $5 billion in CARES funding, even though they have over $100 billion in investment reserves. The four largest for-profit chains, Tenet, HCA, Universal, and Community, received $2.1 billion, thank you very much, from the federal government. The more interesting question is how much more should the hospitals receive in the second round of stimulus funding? On the 20th of July, the American Hospital Association and Kauffman Hall released a margin study that said pre-COVID margins were 3.5%, second quarter COVID margin or second quarter margins after COVID had hit were negative 3%. That's bad enough, but they would have been negative 15% without the CARES funding. And they're projecting negative 7% margins without additional government support. And that was to provide context for their recommendation that the government spend another $100 million in stimulus for hospitals in the second bill. The day after the HA released its report, HCA announced its second quarter earnings, and they absolutely crushed it. I'm sure there was some cursing in AHA headquarters when that happened, but their second quarter profits or earnings were $1.08 billion. That included $822 million in stimulus funding. It raises the question of why HCA was able to recover reasonably well, where the rest of the industry really hasn't. And the other question related to that is all the stimulus funding hiding some mediocre operating performance? It probably is to some extent. Anyway, that sets the stage for a very acrimonious debate over what level of funding hospitals should receive in this second round of stimulus.
Got it. Dave, great recap there. Thank you. Gary, same thing. What do you see in the federal money for hospitals and health systems, and why are they asking for more?
Well, it really gets back to the very first question. What have we seen that doesn't sit well with us? And the problem with this is, of course, when there's multiple trillions of dollars, I mean, it's hard to imagine how much money went out in either grants or loans. We're talking about $3, $4, $5 trillion. And things are going to happen there that just don't make sense. I mean, it sounds strange, but how can you allocate that much dollars and distribute it through the economy without there being inequities? And specifically, what's been reported in the press, and Dave did a good job of just kind of zipping through this, but if you look at this as the tip of the iceberg effect here. So we're going to pick out HCA, which is by far the most profitable of the hospital chains. We're going to pick out some of the large nonprofit systems that are just by virtue of their size going to have large bank accounts. That's easy to pick them out, but, you know, is it really talking about the whole industry? And the operating margins that we track of the largest health systems in the country are less than 3%, and they've been going down steadily. So you have a low margin industry, and it's tough to handle a shock when you're a low margin company. And this COVID situation was a substantial shock in the cases where those health systems were in a surge. I mean, if you look at New York Press, for example, kind of the epicenter of the surge, they're talking about probably $1.5 billion of loss. And that's fairly typical. So I think that what you have is a situation where it's probably the 80-20 rule, in that 20% of the places, either you could argue don't need it or could get by without it. Maybe HCA is in that category. But the bulk of the hospitals and the bulk of the health systems, to some degree, do need it, and some of them really need it. And so what you're getting down to is, how could HHS develop an allocation system that would get the money to those places that were in the middle of a surge and that really needed it? And that's probably more the discussion, is how do we as a country handle this kind of thing the next time it happens?
Yeah, Dave, anything to add to Gary's comments?
Maybe just a couple things. You know, Everett Dirksen once said, you know, a billion here, a billion there, pretty soon you're talking money.
Right.
I think we're going to have to revise our formula. These are just astronomical sums.
Right.
Because I'm a geek, I once sat down and figured out how many years you'd have to live a trillion seconds. And the answer is over 32,000 years. So this is the order of magnitude that we're talking about.
I'm not going to make that, Dave.
The only thing I'd really add to what Gary had to say was a nice summary, is that the industry was already under pressure to transform. And this has really increased the financial pressure in the place where it hurts the most, the revenue for elective surgeries and transaction-related volume. It's going to be interesting to see how the industry weathers this pretty major punch. And then whether it has the resilience to come back and then, you know, continue with some fairly aggressive transformation efforts, it's a tall order.
Got it. Thanks, Dave. Now let's talk about whether that support is necessary given the wide variation in the financial performance of hospitals and health systems. Gary, is this a case of poor performers getting bailed out and the rich getting richer?
Well, it's the right question to ask. And we already talked about operating margins being less than 3% on an annual basis, low margin industry, tough to handle a shock like COVID. I mean, it's clear that as a society, what we've tried to do is to squeeze the capacity of hospitals. Licensed beds have fallen by probably 30% over the last 10 to 15 years. And the idea is if there's a bed, there could be a patient in it. That's too expensive. Let's just cut down the number of beds. Well, here comes the public health crisis in the form of COVID. And you had New York Press having to go from 400 ICU beds to over 900. Basically overnight. So as a society, we have to decide, do we want to fund capacity for a public health crisis? And, you know, that's one of those things that when times are good, it's easy to say, hey, let's just cut down the bed capacity. But times obviously weren't good here. Second point to be made is the decision to allocate these dollars, these multiple trillions of dollars, was a decision by Congress. And as we've talked on this show before, what data did they use? And the answer is they didn't have very good data. So they had to make the decision basically without data. And this gets back to, are we adequately funding the CDC? Do we have a data analytical capability in this country for public health or epidemiological purposes that is sufficient for making decisions about allocating multiple trillions of dollars? And the answer, of course, is no, we don't. So you could look at this as a failure to anticipate problems of this magnitude. And it takes creativity to think about that. It takes discipline to think about that. CDC budget has been progressively cut over the years. The pandemic plan that I think was last updated under Bush really hasn't been updated much since then. So we got caught. And what's happening now, of course, is all the recriminations as Congress made decisions that it thought was necessary to try to help the citizens handle the shock that we got with COVID. Whether it's right for the American Hospital Association to ask for more money is another question. I mean, that's their job, is to look at their membership. And I'm sure there are members that are in very difficult shape. New York Hospitals and Health Corporation, the only way they're going to continue is by funding from the state and the city of New York. So I'm sure there are other cases that other hospitals are in the same boat. Whether overall there needs to be more dollars, I don't know, really. I mean, that's the point of the American Hospital Association. If they come up with figures that show that there should be more dollars, then there should be. I'm sure that people are thinking, well, we still aren't through the first wave. If you look at what's going on in Texas and Arizona, for example, and Florida, is there another wave coming? I mean, we've been predicting a second wave coming later this fall. So if the AHA is trying to get more dollars for these hospitals, I'm sure that what they're thinking about is there could be a second wave or we could get hit next year as well.
Got it. Thanks, Gary. Dave, is there a better way for us to support struggling hospitals and health systems without spending billions or even trillions on every hospital and health system? You know, what kind of market reforms may work better than a federal handout?
Yeah, well, you know, Dave, I've written two books on that last question on market reform. So I think I'll limit my remarks here to the pandemic. My friend, very good friend, Carrie Weems, who was a CMS administrator under George W. Bush, has three iron rules of pandemics. The first is, before a pandemic, any money spent is too much. During a pandemic, any money spent is too little. And then three, people forget. So after a pandemic, people forget. So let's hope we don't forget. Gary's right that we really need to invest in public health infrastructure. So when the next pandemic comes, we catch it, we quarantine, we don't put the strain on the health system. I think it's really hard in the middle of a pandemic when the health systems have been hit exceptionally hard, and we really don't know what the future will bring, to expect the market to respond very quickly and provide resources. So that really does leave the government to fill the bill. But having said that, oh my God, I'm sure we're supporting all kinds of bad habits right now. And we really don't want to get into the moral hazard position of every time a hospital loses money, it expects the government to bail it out. So we'll see.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. Gary, anything to add to Dave's comments?
No, I think we're all in the same place. Dave mentioned bad habits, and previously he had talked about transformation, and I think that's the right thing, but it might be a worthy topic for the next show or two to talk about transformation and to talk about what changes are likely to occur. I'm hearing a number of hospital CEOs talk about value and trying to be reimbursed for some kind of value, not just straight fee for service. And there's several different models that could be used short of the all-out capitation model. And I think that would be a good discussion for us to have at some point.
Yeah, no, good one. Payment reform. I love it. Thanks, Gary. All right. Now, as always, let's talk about next week. Gary, what do you see as the big healthcare headline?
Well, I'm sure there's going to be more talk about the topics that we talked about today. But I do think, for our purpose, we really should think about either payment reform or, in general, what could hospitals do to move the ball forward here in terms of increasing affordability, lowering the costs? What did we learn from the pandemic? That's really kind of the essence of the question.
Got it. Dave, same thing. What front page healthcare news next week?
Well, last week I predicted that we'd be talking about the stimulus, and we did. Congress didn't reach an agreement. So the additional unemployment benefits run out today, the moratorium on rent evictions. So there's just enormous pressure on Congress to do something on stimulus. As it pertains to hospitals, the Senate bill that came out from Speaker McConnell this week had $25 billion in it for hospitals. Of course, the AHA wanted $100 billion. And I think you're going to be seeing a lot of back and forth on what that number should be. And I don't think there's precise logic, but it's going to be between $25 billion and $100
billion. Got it. Thanks, Dave. Thanks, Gary. Just make sure you and everyone in your family and everyone you know are registered to vote, right? Because there will be an election in November.
Yes, there will.
Yep.
All right. That's all the time we have for today. If you'd like to learn more about the topics we discussed, please visit our website at foresighthealth.com. Thanks again for listening. I'm Dave Berta for Foresight Health.